This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Quentin Kidd joins me on the long line. He is the chair of the Department of Politics and Government at Christopher Newport University, one of the top political scientists in Virginia, an expert on Southern politics. Quentin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well. Coy, how are you doing?
Very good. How's the year going? How many classes you got this semester?
I teach two classes, but that sound, if anyone thinks that sounds like too few classes.
Well, you're the chair, right?
I was going to say the administrative duties of chair.
That's like eight classes. So what's the latest? The polls for the Deeds campaign look horrible.
Yeah, it looks like McDonald is opening up a pretty solid, depending on who you listen to, what poll you look at, and who you're talking to, a pretty solid 7, 8, 9, some people say even 10-point lead over Deeds at this right now. Now, I think right now McDonald really is favored to win. I think anyone who thinks he isn't favored to win is probably not looking objectively at what's going on. But I don't think in the end, if McDonald wins, it'll be that big of a win. But, in a gubernatorial race, a 5, 6, 4-point win is a really solid win. And so unless it's a squeaker, a 49-51, I think McDonald is looking at a really solid win. And the reason that's important is that the coattails that McDonald might have on him if he wins by 3, 4, 5 points will certainly be enough to help the down-ticket Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General Republican candidates, but probably a lot of House of Delegate candidates as well.
Which means, when we started this thing earlier this year, we were talking about, the Democrats were saying they were going to take back the House. That doesn't appear very likely as of now.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I mean, it might be that the Republicans actually expand their margins in the House a little bit, because places that Bob McDonald is going to do well around the state include Virginia Beach. And Virginia Beach is where two of the most heated House of Delegates races are going on right now. And they're both incumbent Democrats who are on the ropes. And so if both of those seats go Republican, then the Republicans are going to expand, not contract, in the House of Delegates.
No, the Democrats are still going to hang on to the Senate, right?
Yeah, well, there are no Senate races going on right now, so the Senate is going to stay in Democratic hands, which means that the big contest coming up, which is redistricting, the census and then redistricting, is still going to have to be a bipartisan affair, because the Democrats will have control of the state Senate. Republicans will maintain, if not expand, control of the House of Delegates. And if there's a Republican in the governor's mansion, any kind of redistricting plan that gets through will have to take into consideration the concerns of Democrats who will control the Senate.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd, political scientist at Christopher Newport University, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Quentin, let's, I have to do it here because I'm a radio host, but we're going to do a little pre-mortem and... which of course, for folks who don't know, what is a pre-mortem? You might want to explain that first, and then let's talk about what did McDonald do right over the last year, and what did the Deeds campaign do wrong?
Pre-mortems are dangerous. If a post-mortem is to find out what killed you, a pre-mortem is to look at what's killing you. I think Cree Deeds had bad fortune. I think that's important to note. I mean, he's running for governor at a time when the mood of the country is really sour. People are worried about the expansion in the size of the federal government, the deficits, are worried about the economy, and so any incumbent or any party that's been an incumbent is going to have a hard time. And anybody who's a Democrat, I think, right now is having a tough time in Virginia. The winds blowing out of Washington are pretty stiff. In addition to that, Cree Deeds had to fight a really tough primary race back in June in order to become the Democratic nominee, and it was such a tough race that he exhausted himself, he exhausted his war chest, and he exhausted his staff. I mean, he had about 3 staff members when it was all said and done. He'd had to let a lot of them go just to use the money to win the race. Bob McDonnell, on the other hand, had good fortune on his side in that he did not have a primary competitor for the nominee to become the Republican nominee. So he was able to spend all of that time that Creed Eads was just trying to win the nomination. McDonnell was able to spend all that time sort of preparing himself, getting his message out, kind of helping voters get a sense of who he was from his perspective, not from a Democratic perspective. And so as we went into the general election race in June and July, Deeds was trying to get his act together, while McDonnell at that point was running like a well-tuned machine. And you know, that's all fine and good. Deeds could have recovered from that, but then I think he made some tactical mistakes, some bad judgment, in that he decided to go negative against Bob McDonnell back in August. And instead of, say, going contrast, which is to hit your opponent with a negative and then contrast that with you, he went negative only for a long time. And I just think that soured a lot of voters on Deeds, and it didn't help a lot of voters who wanted to know what it was about Deeds they should support. And so I think it's a combination of bad luck and bad judgment.
Yeah. And this, when we talk basic message development campaign politics, which I teach at the Sorensen Institute, you right. got the sense over the last few months that the Deeds campaign was a campaign in search of a message, and that they finally settled on this, well, Bob McDonnell's just too conservative for Virginia. And that was the message, but that's not enough for people to vote for you.
Yeah, your message
Most
can't
people.
Be why your message can't be why the other guy is not good, and why you shouldn't vote for the other guy. I mean, if you go back to the presidential campaign a year ago, some people accused Barack Obama of running for president as not George Bush. But if you really looked at his campaign, if you ask people what they remember about the presidential campaign and what kind of messages they remember hope. They remember
hope and change.
Yep. And those were keys for why you should support Obama. So Obama ran a really effective campaign of I'm not George Bush, I'm different, and that was actually that played into his larger arguments about what he supported and why you should vote for him. None of that stuff has happened with Creed Eads. You can't say that about Creed Eads. And if you ask what do people think about Bob McDonnell, what's his message, they'll say the economy and jobs. Well, if you ask people about that about Creed Eads, they don't know what to say except I don't like Bob McDonald.
Yeah, he wrote some master's thesis 20 years ago that makes him too conservative for Virginia. We're talking with Quentin Kidd, a political scientist at Christopher Newport University. Frank is waiting patiently on line two in Charlottesville. Frank, you're on with Quentin. You go right ahead.
Hey, Frank.
Thank you for taking the call. Certainly, I agree with what you just said, and I'm a Democratic voter, but I was very put out by the campaign that Mr. Deeds ran and very disappointed by it. But my question is something that's been bothering me for 4 years. You mentioned earlier about coattails, and I certainly understand that. Why didn't Governor Kaine have coattails? He won by a fairly substantial margin, but couldn't bring his other two ticket mates into the office. Can you comment on that, and I will take my answer off the air. Thank you.
That's a great question. Kaine won the governor's house, but the Democratic candidates did not win for lieutenant governor and attorney general.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I think it has to do with how the three Democrats ran last time around 4 years ago, and how the three Republicans are running this time around. 4 years ago, early on, there was some uncertainty about whether Kaine was too liberal to win, whether his position on the death penalty was too liberal, for example, whether he had done some things as mayor of Richmond, like take some positions on gun issues that would make him difficult to win statewide. So his down-ticket running mates distanced themselves from him early in the race and maintained that distance until really the last 2 or 3 weeks of the election. Whereas you haven't seen the down-ticket Republicans this year distance themselves from McDonnell. In fact, there's no question as to whether McDonnell is a conservative Republican. But Ken Cuccinelli is even more conservative, and Bill Bowling is the incumbent. And so there hasn't been that distancing. And so I think because of that, if somebody goes in and pulls the lever, nowadays you push a touch screen, but if you pull the lever for Bob McDonnell, you're more likely to pull the lever for the other two Republicans because you think of them as almost one, whereas 4 years ago for Democrats you didn't necessarily think of Kaine as one with the other Democrats, and so I think that's part of it. But I think also I think there's an overall sense this year that it's time to give Republicans a chance because Democrats have been doing it for several years, and there's unease about the Democratic sort of position nationally, whereas 4 years ago, I don't think there was that same broad level of unease. And so I think that's part of it. I mean, and I also think that it depends on how big McDonald's win is as to whether he has coattails or not. If his win is really big, then I think you can't help but have some coattails. If you win by 6 or 7 points, then you're going to help your down-ticket running mates by 2 or 3 points at least. And I think the one race where it's most tricky for Republicans to have a clean sweep is with the Attorney General's race. I think that's really the race to watch because I think there really is an argument that Democrats are making that Ken Cuccinelli is too conservative, that he has, you know, if you think Bob McDonnell has a social agenda with his thesis, Ken Cuccinelli's record is even more socially conservative. And so I think if we see a split win at all, we'll see Steve Shannon win the Attorney General's race, and we might see the Republicans win the other two races.
We're talking with Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University, a little Virginia politics. Phone lines are open if you've got a question at 977-1070. Cuccinelli, of course, has been the firebrand for the far right-wing conservative agenda, social conservative agenda, in the House of Delegates for many years.
Yeah. I mean, I think he doesn't run from his record. He hasn't necessarily distanced himself. He hasn't drawn a lot of attention to it. He's having to run a general election campaign right now. But unlike McDonnell, who, you know, will say, I wrote that several years ago, but I've changed my mind, Cuccinelli won't say I've changed my mind. He just doesn't really spend a lot of time talking about those issues. But he's clearly much more socially conservative than Bob McDonnell probably ever has been in his life. And I think the real attention, in a funny sort of way, having Cuccinelli on the ticket might actually have helped Bob McDonnell a little bit because, you know, McDonnell can say I've changed my mind, and look how I've governed, and look how I've served as a delegate, look what I've done since then. And then voters look at Ken Cuccinelli and say, well, you know, McDonald isn't so conservative compared to that, and so maybe I'm okay with McDonald, even if I'm not okay with Cuccinelli.
It's tended to moderate his position, hasn't it?
Yeah, if he's not more moderate anyway, it's tended to make him look more moderate in the minds of voters, I think.
Yeah. So what would that mean? I mean, if Cuccinelli wins the attorney general seat, so what if he's socially conservative Republican? What would that mean agenda-wise for the attorney general's office? Would it mean anything?
Yeah. No. I mean, I think it does. I mean, the attorney general has the attorney general is the state's attorney. And advises, you know, state government on a lot of issues. But the attorney general has a lot of flexibility to decide whether to, for example, become a party to a particular case. For example, join other attorneys general at the Supreme Court in taking a position. But, you know, there are also more subtle things that happen. Like the last two governors have signed executive orders saying that state agencies can't discriminate against people, gay and lesbian employees. Well, there's no state law that protects gay and lesbian employees, but the attorney general could actually take a really hard line on that and say, you know, that's unconstitutional. The governor can't do that. Bob McDonnell advised the governor not to do it, but then sort of dropped it at that, Governor Kane. Cuccinelli could push the issue and say, you know, it's unconstitutional, you can't do that. And so there are ways like that where there could be a shift, a more social conservative shift coming out of the attorney general's office under a Cuccinelli attorney general.
You know, it would be really interesting, Quentin, if those three win, McDonnell, Bowling wins re-election, and Cuccinelli wins the attorney general's office, which right now, that's what it looks like might happen. But there, if they three, I'm curious, who would then be the Republican candidate for governor the next time around? Who would McDonnell support if he supports either one? Would it be Bowling or would it be Cuccinelli?
Well, it's a good question. If we all remember the reason Bob McDonnell did not have an opponent to be the Republican nominee was so we understood because Bob McDonnell and Bill Bowling made a deal. Bowling wasn't quite ready to run for governor. Bob McDonnell was. Bowling decided to sit out this one, run for re-election as lieutenant governor, and then next time he would be able to run for governor, and supposedly Bob McDonnell would support him. Bob McDonnell wouldn't be able to run again for governor. He'd have to sit out a term if he wanted to do it again. But the question is, if Cuccinelli wins the attorney general's office and begins immediately laying the groundwork for a run for governor, then we might have a really competitive Republican primary 4 years from now, 3.5 years from now, whatever, for the Republican nominee.
Yeah, that'd be fascinating. That'd be fascinating. Quentin, got a couple of minutes left. Last question. Back in 92 when Clinton was running for office, remember the phrase, it's the economy, stupid?
Right.
Is it that simple? I mean, is it that simple that when the economy's bad, you throw the bums out and we tend to see a major shift in the power structure? So, you know, if the economy's bad when Republicans are in charge, the Democrats win and vice versa.
Well, I think there's something to that. It's a broad trend. It's not a one-for-one relationship, but there is something to that. Incumbents tend to do poorly when the economy's bad, and McDonnell has run essentially in its economy-stupid campaign, even if he hasn't said that. He is focused like a laser beam on the economy, jobs, et cetera. And so it's a tough time to be an incumbent, but it's also a tough time to be a Democratic incumbent because of the stuff going on in Washington and the sort of headwinds coming out of Washington. It's a tough time to be an incumbent generally, but Democrats have a tougher time because they are seen as in control of everything, even if Barack Obama's only been in office for, you know, 9 months or so.
Yeah. Quentin Kidd is chair of the Department of Politics and Government at Christopher Newport University and expert on Southern politics and Virginia politics as well. We'll be talking to him much more over the next couple of weeks as Virginians go to vote a week from tomorrow. Quentin, thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. All right.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.